The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus began speaking in the synagogue, saying, "Today this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke highly of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They also asked, "Isn't this the son of Joseph?" He said to them, "Surely you will quote me this proverb, 'Physician, cure yourself,' and you will say, 'Do here in your native place the things that we heard were done in Capernaum.'" And he said, "Amen, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own native place. Indeed, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was closed for 3.5 years, and a severe famine spread over the entire land. It was to none of these that Elijah was sent, but only to a widow in Zarephath in the land of Sidon. Again, there were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When the people in the synagogue heard this, they were all filled with fury. They rose up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town had been built, to hurl him down headlong. But Jesus passed through the midst of them and went away. The Gospel of the Lord. It has been a cold week here in the upper Midwest, although today, with all the fog and the warmer temperature, it doesn't seem like we were so far below zero this past week, but indeed we set records, and it wasn't since 1996, 23 years ago, that we had such a cold week in January. I know some of you remember that cold January long ago. 1996 was the last time we had such cold temperatures. But 1996 was also an important year for me because that was the year that I was ordained a priest. And I was thinking about that when people started mentioning the year 1996 in the newscasts this past week. Because after I was ordained a priest, the next day, and this would have been in May of 1996, the day after I was ordained a priest, I went back to my hometown of Robbinsdale and I celebrated my first Mass as a priest. And I went into there, I got up at the altar, up at the pulpit, I looked out at the people, and I saw all of the people that I grew up with. Friends that I had gone to school with, their parents who knew me from a little boy, who probably were thinking, "Oh, there's that Mitchell boy. We know his parents. We know his older brother and sister." And it can be a little bit intimidating, as you can imagine, standing up in front of people that knew you. They know your past and your background, all the silly things you did. And now you're up there preaching the gospel to them. And I wondered, I wonder what they're thinking of me as now I'm coming to them speaking the gospel. Maybe some of that was going through the minds of the audience in the gospel reading that we hear today. This is part two of Jesus going back to his hometown synagogue of Nazareth. He's talking to the people in the synagogue, the town where he grew up. And at first, they are really open to what he's saying. They are amazed at his words, and they are speaking so highly of him. And then it appears that they begin to be a bit skeptical because they start thinking, "Isn't this the son of Joseph?" They maybe are thinking, "We know his background. We knew him when he was a little boy." And now they start to maybe have some questions about him. And then Jesus goes a bit further and does something that is going to get under their skin when he starts talking about faith, the faith that would be needed for him to do the amazing things there in Nazareth that they are hearing he's done in other places, curing the sick, helping the lepers, raising the dead. And he uses a comparison to the Old Testament when Elijah and Elisha reached out to non-Jewish people who had faith that they could do something. There was a widow in Zarephath in the land of Sidon, and there was a Syrian soldier named Naaman who was cured of his leprosy. These two examples are people outside of the Jewish religion that had faith that God could do something for them. And when you have faith, God can work in your life. And Jesus is telling these people of Nazareth, you don't have the faith. You don't have faith in me as the Son of God. And that fills them with fury, and they want to throw him out of town and throw him out over the hill on which the town is built. But he goes off through them because he has more of a mission to accomplish. What can we draw out of the reading today of this? I think what I have been praying about is that times in our life, we will try to live the truth. Hopefully, we're trying all the time to follow the steps of Jesus and model our life after him. As we do that, we're going to encounter people that knew us when we were little, when we grew up, maybe even from the years where that we weren't as strong in our faith as we are now. And they may be skeptical. They may be critical of our actions or our what we're doing. But we should not let that deter us from living our faith. Yes, people could be skeptical or critical of how we are living, but we should persevere. The prophets of the Old Testament, time and again, ran up against opposition. The first reading today is from Jeremiah, a man who goes out to preach the word, and people are not open to it. But God says to Jeremiah, I will be with you. I will be with you to protect you. So keep going. And that's what we have to do. When people are against what we're doing, when we live our faith, we have to persevere. That's what the prophets do. That's what Jesus himself encountered. He encountered opposition from his hometown people, the people who thought, well, these would be the first people to be on his side and to be open to what he's saying. But as he preaches the truth further and further to them, it's a challenging message. And we often look for excuses not to listen to the challenging, truthful message because it will cause a change in our life. How we can persevere, I think, in living the truth amidst opposition is what Paul talks about in the second reading. Above all the things that we can accomplish in life and all the gifts and talents we have, there's one thing we need, and that is love. Love is the most essential part of the life of a disciple. Love will go through anything. Love will last forever. And love is the virtue that we need underneath all of the other things that God has gifted us with. We can be prophetic, we can do amazing things, we can have knowledge and wisdom of all the mysteries of the world, but if we don't have love, we are nothing. But with love, we have everything. As we live our faith today, let us be open to God guiding us and inspiring us in our faith. In the midst of opposition, maybe from the people that we thought would be the most on our side, we need to persevere to live our faith and to walk in the footsteps of Jesus.